at the risk of giving a homily that perhaps you might have heard before, let me ask the question, how is the soil of your heart? How is the soil of your heart? Today's gospel, Jesus gives us the homily already. We have the explanation. So, all that I can give you today is perhaps some helpful questions, helpful ways to think about how we might be those people who hear with our ears, see with our eyes, and truly receive the word of God as he's given it to us. We receive so many good gifts from the Lord, so many that we might be mindful of, others that we might not quite recognize. And yet all those things that the Lord gives us is for our benefit. Even those sufferings that Paul talks about in the second reading can be ways in which the Lord opens our hearts to receive what he wishes to give us, to conform us to himself, to be those instruments of his grace. Because what happens when we receive the gift of God's word and it becomes part of our hearts and our minds, we become participants in God's grace. Now, the various types of soil, of course, indicate that not everybody is in the same place. There are those of us who probably have to do some remediation, if you will, on the soil of our hearts. There might be a lot of things that we need to dig up, that we need to kind of cleanse in order just to make the soil useful and able to receive God's grace. While others might have already done some of that work and have smaller things, might have some of those deeply rooted weeds, you know, when you're gardening and you kind of pull up some of the plants and then you dig a bit deeper and there's that whole deep root structure a couple feet below the surface. Those weeds of our sins and our bad habits that are kind of deeply ingrained within us take a lot of time to uproot. And so, as the letter of St. James tells us, we need to have that patience of a farmer. That patience of a farmer that goes out and does that daily work every day, no matter how toilsome it might be. So that when we work on our relationship with God, it's not just something that we do for an hour on a Sunday morning, or perhaps during the week by saying the rosary or spending 20 minutes in prayer, though that's really good. But that continual growth of our spiritual lives requires our cooperation with God. Many times we kind of use God's omnipotence as an excuse for our inaction. Well, if God really wanted me to be better, he would do more for me. Well, he's given us his very self. So what more could he do? And so it's important that we spend some time to think about what can we do in response to God's grace, right? This isn't just us kind of doing things on our own. As creatures created by God, God has already given us the gift of our lives. In fact, he's given us the gift of everything that exists to, as St. Ignatius of Loyola says, to assist us towards the purpose for which we are created, to save our souls and to glorify God. And so St. Ignatius says we need to learn how to choose what is most conducive towards that end for which we're created. What is it that will help us grow in our relationship with God and grow towards that salvation, which, as St. Paul says, not only do we eagerly expect, but all of creation does. In this meantime, it's not like we're separated from God absolutely. God continually gives us his grace. Indeed, in word, in the sacraments, but also because everything has been created by God, everything exists through that grace of God, so that it is possible to encounter God in all things, as the Jesuit lingo goes. Being a Jesuit, I'm sorry, I have to bring this in. It's not that we have some kind of pantheistic belief that everything is God, but that when we identify, when our eyes are open and our ears are open, and we identify what is good and what God has given to us and what God has created, that in appreciating that gift and making use of what God has given us, God has given those things to us for a purpose. That purpose to assist us in drawing close to him, in drawing nearer to our salvation, in drawing nearer to that realization and actualization of what God has done and what God has desired in creating us. And so, when we look at our lives, it's important to look at how is it that we spend our time? What is it that goes into the soil of our hearts? What do we fill our minds and our hearts with during the week? Obviously, it's very good to identify those things that are genuinely good and obligations of the church, coming to Mass on Sunday, receiving the sacraments. And it's also very good to identify and avoid those things that are clearly evil and sinful. Sometimes what is harder, however, is how to identify between goods. When does that something that's created that is good perhaps become not quite as good for me as an individual, right? We all have our differences in the way that God has created us. And so when we look at just a simple example, such as devotional prayers, some people may really love and bear fruit in praying the rosary. Other people, without being sinful, may not resonate with that prayer. Or they might be in a period of life where it just doesn't resonate with their heart. So it's not that anything is bad with that, but there are other ways of praying. Other people might pray with music, might read theology. There are all these ways that God has worked through the life of the church to give us this treasury of gifts that through which we can grow in our relationship with God. And it's impossible to use all of them all the time. We might go through a period of difficulty where we find devotion to the seven sorrows of Mary to be what is most conducive to our growing close to God and uprooting those sins. And so for other things in life, right? We can think about the different foods that we eat, the different activities that we do. Some of them are good. We might do some that are sinful, and we want to get rid of those. But there are others that might seem neutral that may not be doing us so much good. Think about how much time we spend on our phones, in front of screens. How much time we assume that we will save through technology. And then when it doesn't work, we get frustrated and upset. When things don't work the way that we thought they would work. And so we need to take the time sometimes to reassess those things that we use, the ways that we spend our time. St. Augustine tells us that no matter what, we will love something. And of course, with our restless hearts, Augustine says, we are made to love God. But if we don't love God, we will love something else. And when we love something else, we start, to go back to that soil metaphor, we start putting stuff into the soil of our hearts. That is not God. That we might love something more than we ought to love it. So that even loving something good can become something sinful when we love it too much. When Jesus says that we must love him and love God above all things, he lets us know that he really means that. And that when we love other things more than God, we treat them as God. And so we have to always look at ourselves in God's light and love things as God would have us love them. And we need that grace and that light of God to truly know how to love those created things. That yes, God has given us for our salvation and to assist us. But that doesn't mean we have to use everything all the time. And there are certain times that something may not be quite as helpful. Of course, there are things that are always helpful. Coming to Mass, reading Scripture, and reading those interpretations of Scripture that help us to understand and absorb what God has told us and what God has said to us, and what God indeed is saying to us here and now. And all these things are given to us that we might be those fields, if you were, in which God's Spirit bears fruit. In John's Gospel, Jesus tells the apostles that without him, they can do nothing. And he uses a different organic metaphor, right? The vine and branches. But even there, the commonality is with that image of bearing fruit. And in a very real way, the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us by the Lord is there to bear fruit. In John's Gospel, Jesus says that the Spirit blows where it wills, and yet it blows in order to give life. And that gift of life, that is God himself, is what we receive every time we receive the Lord as well. Because the Spirit and the Word always work together. And so we can hear the Word, we can read the Word, but we need that Spirit of God with the Word as well. That brings that Word into life within us. And in fact, bears fruit, gives birth, if you will. And so our spiritual lives is this constant, patient process of working with the Lord to enrichen the soil of our hearts and our minds, that we might be those creatures that God has created us to be. So that we, like the Word, might participate in that light and that love that is God, that shines upon the entire universe, and which, through our baptism, God has invited us to participate in that salvific mission, so that the graces that we receive from God and the gifts that we receive from God are never merely just for ourselves, but like every gift that God has given us and that we see given in Christ, they're meant to be given away, that we might be sent like the apostles to those places in which we live, and we might, however feebly, and sometimes powerfully, through God's grace, be those sowers with the word. That those gifts that God has given us, we might share with others. That this project of salvation that God has engaged in, that he's invited us into it, is never merely about something that we do on our own, but it always includes those people around us. Of course, those who are in the church, the body of Christ, right? That organic metaphor of Paul, of the body, where we're all connected and members of Christ and united in Christ. But also, all those people that God has created that he would like to be part of his body, that he has created and would like to be saved and to enjoy that eternal life that God offers. It's not enough while we're in this world to simply mind our own business. If we truly care about others, we do want them to enjoy what God has given us. We do want to and desire that their souls might be saved too. So even in little ways in our weekly, daily lives, if we have worked on that relationship with God, we might be surprised at the fruit that it bears. Jesus says 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. All we can do is make ourselves available and do what we can with the help of God's grace, to cooperate with God's grace, so that our fields within might be fertile, and that we might allow God's word to bear fruit within us and beyond us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.